Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello, welcome to After Fantasy Podcast, episode 34. I'm your host, Peter, joined by Tom. How are you doing, Tom?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Also got a special guest this week, Gunnar. missing an action the last few weeks, whining and dining with the top FPL Escalons because he's got the... He's still not on rank in Germany, Gunnar, still got it?
No, I've dropped down to second week's not over yet.
So. Not over yet, but he's up there, so... He's been out there mingling, doing Zoom, kid-on interviews for different podcasts, but he's back, Henry. He's back. He's living up to his contract.
I can't believe I missed the week when Lennon was sacked, you know?
I'm sure you've made comments on it. Right, we'll go to the league, then the top three. I don't think there's any change. I'm pretty sure there is. Gunnar, you're still in third. Yep, and second was Conquering Lions, Robbie Dempsey. First, Wolfstone, Tony McLennan. So there's not... No change to top three. And if you go down to, I wrote somewhere, 13th, I think was the highest score of the week, was Heart Attack McGlovin with 68 points, a pretty damn good score. So the average of the week was 22, low as usual. The highest was 75, so a pretty low average this week. So we got 48 for me, we hit. Tom, 44 for you, we hit. And Gunnar, 56 for you, I'm sure that's a hit as well. So do you want to talk us through your points? Start with you, Tom.
Yep, so I had Siegrist in goals, got me 2 points. Captain Barisic, 14. Paul McGinn got me nothing. Ayer got me 7. Goldson, 7. Midfield, Callaghan got me 6. Turnbull, 3. Kilty, 1. Vice Captain Boyle, nothing. Up front, I had Edward for 6 points and Jordan White for 2 points.
Okay, Gunnar, your points?
Yeah, I got nothing from Marciano in goals. I had Captain Barisic for 14. Goldson and Ayer got me 7 points each. Nothing from Boyle. Ferguson got me 2 points, Turnbull 3 points, Callaghan 6 points, and then the front three, Morelos 5 points, Cole for 6, and Edward, the vice captain, for 10 points.
Right, and myself, so I had Marciano for no points, Carey for 7, Captain Barisic 14, Golston 7, through midfield, McGregor and Turnbull 3 each, vice captain was Turnbull, Mullen for 2, Campbell for 3, Callaghan for 6, up front was 6 for Cole, and I get Nisbet off the bench for 1. The only thing I missed out on was Alec in goals for 6 points for St Mirren. Would have been more points, but obviously I didn't see that coming. So we'll move on to our topic and into the stats. So topic this week was the League Cup final weekend. It's not really fantasy related, just more what your thoughts on it. We did say a few weeks ago we all thought Livingston were overwhelming favourites, but as the weeks progressed, coming up to this final, St Johnstone's hit a bit of form. They looked like a team who... The manager looks like he's got a system in place, looks like they're going places. And I think St Johnstone wasn't the most it wasn't the most vibrant of the game, but St Johnstone were probably winners. And I think Livingston look a little safely in the top six, but they could look shakily. The form's dropped off quite bad, actually. What's your thoughts of the game, Gunnar?
Yeah, you said it there. Livy's form has changed a little bit from their winning run that they were on, and I was listening to a different podcast and they were maybe suggesting that it's all a bit too tactical now from Martindale. He put Bartley on trying to cover Rooney, who was like running down the right wing there in the wing back role. And whereas Bartley usually plays further defensively. And when they went on this like winning run, it was more like go out, enjoy your football, not so much like tactically. So they would suggest maybe he's overthinking it, maybe a little bit tactically. I thought like the game started off very quickly from both sides. And then St. Johnstone took the sting out of the game a little bit, and they just handled it better. Seems like the two managers, very, very opposite sides of like, one of them very agitated, whereas like Martindale, very, very shouty. And then the St. Johnstone manager, very much the opposite. And Rooney, he's playing in that right wing back role. He's got 3 goals and 1 assist, a penalty one. That's in 4 league games and 1 cup game now. So he's hitting a bit of form. And yeah, I like him for fantasy as well. That's Rooney.
Okay. Tom, thoughts on the League Cup final?
Yeah, I kind of wanted Livingston to win it just for that sort of fairy tale factor for Martindale. But it wasn't meant to be. But if you go on form, then obviously St. Johnstone with a form team. I had the same stats about Rooney as Gunnar, so I won't go over those twice.
I seen you shooting a fist of anger as he did.
But one surprise was Mohamed didn't feature at all in the cup final, given his recent form. I was quite surprised at that. But I suppose we'll come on to more about that later.
Right. The only thing at all is Livingston seem to have developed quite a decent sized squad. Now they've done a lot of rotation recently. I don't know if it maybe suits them more that the smaller the squad they had with less options to change things. They were doing this after the unbeaten run. It's kind of I think it's took them a wee bit off the rails a wee bit. Too much thought in his formation, too much thought, as Gunnar said, like trying to be maybe too cute with tactics, overthinking sometimes, and I think it's come back and basically bottom in the butt. So next topic is something we kind of bleat on about all the time. This week coming up is the official half-hour Fantasy Podcast Cup kickoff. So we've talked about it for weeks. The draw's been done. I'm pretty sure today threes will get all the cup draw back out there, tweeting over the next couple of days, because obviously we want to see the draw, get interest back up. This is game time. There's a lot of people in the game now who have no chance of winning it, ourselves included. The Gurner might still be a chance of winning it. He's too far off the top.
The overall game?
Yeah.
You mean I'm probably too far off. I'm around 35th, but there's probably no chance of catching top spot.
Because of the point system work. So this is a chance for guys for a second chance of glory. You know what I mean? This is it. The cup. Take it home. Sorry to tell your wife and grandkids about down the line that you won the first ever fantasy cup. But I'll feel all that rubbish for you. You know what I mean? Bit of interest going to the game week. And actually, I was a bit panicky before about trying to get it undone game week wise. But when I've actually looked it out and looked at the gap between game weeks, it's actually going to be pretty easy, because we've got a massive gap between the first round and the second round because of the way the fixtures fall. And then the Scottish Cup's back on, so they haven't pushed the fixtures together. So there's going to be plenty of space. And I think the only time that there is some sort of like midweek game, then a weekend game, is actually the last round, where it's only like 4 teams left. So it shouldn't be any sort of issue at all. So again, we will tweet about that near the time, because obviously we want interest, want guys playing, interaction. Use a hashtag. You can boast about your scores, whatsoever, and we'll talk about that over the next game week. So we'll go to stat corner. Gunnar, you get a stat first?
Yeah, my stat of the week, I looked that up because I've noticed that Man City are 14 points ahead in the Premier League. And so I've had a wee look around the top 25 UEFA countries. I have a list here. And top of that is actually Young Boys Burn with 19 points ahead. And second in the table there is Rangers, who are 18 points ahead.
Every week, Tom, a wee dig at us, eh? Every week. Get a piece of...
Start of the week, no?
Yeah. dig of the week. Right, Tom, the stat.
Well, I'll lift us back up. Turnbull is now third highest scoring midfielder, which I was quite surprised at, considering it took him some time to obviously come into the starting 11 at Celtic and start getting regular starts, but he's now third. Top three consists of Kent, Boyle, and then Turnbull. And I was also surprised to see Lewis Ferguson's drop down. He held the top spot for quite some time, but now he's down to sixth place amongst midfielders.
So Turnbull came in the team at Celtic in August, at the end of August, and hardly featured until the disasters run about November time. Is that right? That's when he broke into the team?
Yep.
So you're maybe talking about 3 months out, and he's sitting top?
Third, sorry.
That's interesting for next year, I think. Keep an eye on that, because depending on who takes over, I think Tom will be pivotal in that Celtic midfield.
Yeah, definitely.
Right, we'll go to the results then. I wrote down double game week because it was split like over the week. I realised it's not. It's because of the cup final. So, first up, Celtic 1, Aberdeen 0. Edouard goal, Christie assist. I'm sure people will be happy with that. Clean sheet for Celtic. And this is the first game post Lennon era. So, Gunnar, I'll go to you first and let you get your thoughts on the Lennon resignation. I say in air brackets, in air, because I think he was told to resign. I mean, his own Lennon style, that's his style. He done it when he's been mad dig at the government. But what's your thoughts on Lennon, first of all, leaving, and then on this game?
Well, I think, first of all, it was about time that Celtic changed their manager. Never mind if he left out of his own accord or if he was let go. But we said it at the time, maybe after the was it St. Johnstone in the Cup? No, Ross County in the Cup.
Ross County, yeah.
Yeah, he should have probably, well, at the latest, been gone after that. Had a couple of European mishaps where he could have probably gone after.
I like
well.
That. Mishaps. Embarrassed. 4-1 twice.
But yeah, so the second Ross County defeat then was too much for him to stay in the job. John Kennedy's taken over now. Yeah, he might keep the job till the end of the season. I don't know what the plan is there for Celtic now. But overall, like I say, it was time for Lennon to go. I'm not sure you could say they've shown that big of a reaction now. For example, here in the Aberdeen game. Then again, it's a decent opponent. So I wasn't expecting Celtic to blow Aberdeen away.
But, you only had 3 days with the squad really as well. So I suppose it's...
That's fair. So I think time will tell. Also for Kennedy, this is him putting himself in the shop window, if you want to say that. So like keeping the job or maybe getting a job somewhere in England down in the lower divisions and build up his reputation or something. So overall, I think it's a good decision from Celtic. It now depends who they bring in for next season. Like this season is done and dusted anyway, but the start of rebuilding starts here now, identifying transfer targets, etc. So as soon as you get make a decision if Kennedy keeps the job or you bring in a proper manager in the long term, the sooner that happens, the sooner you can start planning for next season.
Thoughts on the game in general? Just didn't see much difference really.
Oh, so first thing, Klamala started, which makes me think Ejeti is either not fit or not very good.
but both, maybe?
Maybe a bit of both, yeah. See, that's also something that would be interesting to know, like who brought Ejeti in. Yeah, I mean, it's not alone. I think
it's a Lennon target, 100%. I believe they tried to get him last year. Tom, I don't know if you can confirm that. They tried to get Ejeti last year. I think with the idea of selling... Obviously, Edouard was going to go, but we're getting a replacement. Couldn't get him. And then when... Is it West Ham he came from?
Yeah,
came from West Ham.
It was kind of him and Horn about a loan deal, so he's got out and actually spunked the money to get him in full-time. So obviously, it was a long-term target. It just hasn't worked out. But again, I put that down to formation and coaching as well, because there's a player there for his previous, and I think in the right formation, right coach could be a good player. And like you said earlier on, I think everybody's going to get a clean slate next year. Start from scratch.
Yeah, all these things are happening now. You can look at it from both sides. One thing is, why didn't Ejeti start these games? Why isn't he fit? Then again, Klamala getting his chance. So why didn't he get his chance? Like when Lennon was still there, I thought when he did play, when Lennon was still there, he looked decent. Never really got a lot of starts. But even if he came on at like 3-0 up, he was still trying to get him behind, etc. So he's always looked okay this season to me. My top target from like the strikers in Celtic is still Edouard. I wouldn't go anywhere towards Ejeti or Klamala. So, but yeah, he got his start. Good start to the game as well for the tuna melts with Christie to Edouard. Got a bit lucky maybe with the deflection there. And so left Lewis no chance in goals there. I thought Aberdeen defended well, overloading the ball side and just pressing the ball and really didn't let Celtic build up the play. I've only watched the highlights though, but from the highlights, Celtic didn't do a lot going forward either. So maybe you've probably watched the full game, so maybe you got a bit of more insight into that.
Just for a little moment, the only thing I noticed, again, I'll go back to the fact I didn't have much time with the team, so I don't expect big improvements. I felt it was more possession-based football, Tom, though you can come on after us, and less of this kind of rush Lenny ball, we used to say it, front to back as quick as possible. It's more possession with the ball about, take your opportunity and wait. If you see, I think I said before, so they always get drawn into a battle. where he just keeps that throwing the ball back and forth constantly, and then another team gets in, and sometimes a fight suits other teams, but built that way. Where this didn't let Aberdeen attack because we kept possession. Maybe slightly going back to the whole, I would maybe like it to Rodgers type football, maybe not as fluid, but that ethos of the other team can't score goals if you get the ball, kind of thing. All right, you may not look the most attacking going forward, but if you get the ball, we can't deal with it. Sorry, Tom, what's your thoughts on this? Have we covered it all there, yeah?
That was his first start for a while. He didn't have any shots on target. He missed a big chance when he slid on in and across from John Joe Kenny. He's not scored since October, so I don't really fancy him as a fantasy option. Edward opened the scoring. That's his first goal after two blanks. Prior to that, he did score 10 goals in 9 games. But we know from experience Aberdeen are quite defensively sound. So you don't get a lot past Aberdeen, really. I thought he was greedy as well. He should have really squared it to Sorrow when he was in on goal later on in the game too. I thought Ash Taylor was actually the standout player. He hit the post. He had a big chance saved by Bain. He was the only player to have made more than one shot on target. And he faces Hamilton next too. You don't really know what you're going to get with Hamilton. They really have a really good day or a really bad day. So take your chances with Hamilton. Celtic went on to get the clean sheet as well. But Aberdeen, they've not really been prolific in front of goal recently. So I wouldn't say that's a massive achievement for the Celtic defence. However, Celtic defenders do go on to face a Dundee United team who have found some recent form. So with Kennedy having a bit more time to coach, and we'll see how they come up against Dundee United. And then I think we can maybe draw a few more conclusions from that game.
Yep, going into the split. So sticking with you then, Tom, with the next game, it's Hibs 0, Motherwell 2, probably a bit of shock. So Roberts goal, a what assist, and Roberts assist, and clean sheet. I got to admit, I didn't see this result coming after Motherwell's kind of shaky form, but thoughts on this game, Tom?
Yeah, so first thing we noticed from the lineups was no Doig after we talked him up last week. Mm-hmm. The final result did come as a big surprise because Motherwell have been a bit off the boil recently, whereas Hibs have been the ones that have been in form. Paul McGinn was in for... I've wrote all the rubbish now. That doesn't make sense. Boyle's been the form man. Hibs had 3 shots on target in this game and 2 of them came from Boyle and he did miss 2 big chances. Jordan Roberts got the opener. I thought it was a great through ball from Tony Watt. Then Jordan Roberts went on to set up Cole's 6th goal for Motherwell this season. Roberts has only started the previous game and this one against Hibs. He only joined on loan from Hearts in January. We don't really know if this is going to be a flash in the pan. I'd probably suggest just keeping an eye on him for now. I wouldn't be rushing in to buy him just yet.
Okay, Gunnar, your thoughts on the game?
I thought Motherwell, they looked really good in transition. And just getting up the pitch and having runners in behind, that really troubled the Hibs defence. Also, just for the second goal, to me, it was like a lapse in concentration. It was Motherwell had to throw in and then just to knock on and Cole is in for his goal there. And just from watching the highlights, even at 2-0, Hibs didn't really have many ideas apart from like getting crosses in the box, how to get a goal back. So, yeah, surprising result, but a good result for Motherwell.
Yep, I think this is a glimpse of the way you think Neil Alexander wants his team to play. I mean, they were quite relentless, and Hibs didn't, as you said, didn't have an answer going forward. And like, I think we've seen a few times, Motherwell have got a squad for the top 6. They definitely have. And again, fantasy aspect-wise, post-split, we've got an eye on a couple of the players I think come in. But then I think we've talked about this near the time. There's quite a few players you want again. You can't put them on your team when it comes to the split because... You don't want to go too top-heavy because they're all going to play each other. Then at the bottom, there's probably decent assets, but then you don't want to overload because they play each other. It's going to be a fine balance. But I'm interested to see how people work out there. Well, cars go forward. We'll discuss that also post-split. Next up, Kilmarnock 1, Dundee United 1, Medley with a goal, Lafferty with an assist, and Sorrell goal, Hearts assist. Gunnar?
Do I have the wrong game here? Is it Killy against United? No, what did you say?
Yep,
Killian 1 each. Didn't Sporer score a goal?
I said Sporer goal, Hearts assist.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I missed that. I was like, don't forget my guy, Sporer.
That's how I went to you first, I know you like Sporer.
Yeah, so he got a bit lucky for with the shot there that it even made true. Spurley, like we say, he's a defender in the game, played on the left wing again, but he just can't stay fit. He was taken off on the 28th minute after he got his goal. A bit unlucky. Then we had the first attack and return for Lafferty and Medley for Killy. And Killy end their losing streak, but can only get the 1 point. And they're still bottom at the of the table, well, level on points with Hamilton and point away from safety. I thought Sigrist, he looked decent, but once again, we got nothing from Shankland. So, yeah, post-split, maybe a couple of options, but until then, that's two teams where I probably don't need any players from.
I think you've missed the Shankland action. I think you've been on a hiatus. Shankland went nuts for a few weeks, didn't he? Goals and assists. Yeah. As soon as you come back, you stop.
Yep.
Right, Foster the game, Tom.
So Lafferty started this game, his first start since joining. I thought he looked pretty good. He took a shot from distance, hit the crossbar, also had a decent free kick as well. However, it was Dundee United who opened the scoring with a double deflection, which is a bit unlucky for Killy, but Kilmarnock's defence gave them the opportunity and they took it. Harks got the assist. He's had two assists in his last three games, and Sporler has had two goals in his last three. So add that into the Shankland form, then Dundee United are looking fairly decent just now. Kilty got the yellow card for simulation, which was kind of harsh. And Lafferty did have a goal cut off as well due to Broadfoot fouling Sigrist. So I do kind of like the look of Lafferty as well. I think maybe keep an eye on him. Zach Medley got the equaliser. He's on loan from Arsenal. He joined in January and he's had a couple of shots on target in this game, which is good for a centre-back. Shankland blanked for the first time in four games. In this game, he did have four shots, two on, and he did miss a big chance as well. He does have Celtic and Aberdeen coming up, but then it's a split, and I think he could be a nice option post-split if they stay within the bottom half.
Okay, next up, St Mirren 1, Ross County 0. McGrath goal from a penalty and a clean sheet for St Mirren. Tom?
Yeah, and it was Quainer that won the penalty as well. St Mirren looked the most likely in the first half, I thought. County made three changes at half-time. Tremarco, Andreu and Gardine came off for Iacoviti, Donaldson and Ollie Shaw. It was just after half-time that Jordan White was denied from close range. Great save by Anik. Jordan White came in with a header. And it was straight at Anik. But shortly after that, Kelly hit the bar as well. So St Mirren did well to keep the clean sheet. Quainer got the penalty, which won St Mirren the game. Obviously, it was McGrath. He's on penalties for St Mirren and has been for quite some time. I thought it was a bit unlucky for County, considering it was a clear dive. And that's another clean sheet for St Mirren. They've had three clean sheets in their last five. And Anik, I think, has made some great saves for them in recent weeks to keep them in the game.
Yep, they're steadily going about the business at St Mirren, securing this top six. Thoughts on the game, Gunnar?
Yeah, I just had Anik as my top performer in that game as well. I thought Laidlaw, he was decent as well. So that for me, that was like a game. If the Fantasy Football Scotland had bonus points in the game, then I think both goalkeepers would have come away with a big share of them in this game.
Right, and on to the midweek games there. Hamilton won, St Johnston won. Callaghan went absolutely belter. Anderson assist involved again since he's moved from Aberdeen. And that guy, Mohamed, goal and a Gordon assist. So, Tom, you go first.
Yeah, so Mohamed got the equaliser in this game. He had four shots on target, which is pretty good. As I said before, I was surprised that he didn't feature in the cup final, but they won it anyway, so who cares? Mohamed's now had four goals and two assists in his last five games, and I think that's pretty good considering he only played 11 minutes against Rangers. It was a great goal from Callaghan, as you said, and I thought him and Bruce Anderson linked up well for the goal. We've mentioned those two as appearing in the past, and again, something to consider post-split as well. I think there's a lot of emerging striker options, so you might not be able to fit Bruce Anderson in your team, but I think Callaghan is a great midfielder option because there's not a lot of options in midfield, but I think he's great.
Yep, I think maybe it's just because of this podcast week, you're starting to notice the kind of same names the past few weeks hitting the form at the right time, but it's like, yeah, as you said, it's trying to fit these guys in, and you want to have an Edward or a Malelas and all. Thoughts on the game, Gunnar?
Yeah, I had the same Guy Melamed stats as well. Callahan, great goal.
One each.
Aye. I think Hamilton will probably be disappointed with that. So the St. Johnston goal is like a ball over the top, defence playing for offside, and Melamed is in behind. So, yeah, unlucky not to get all the 3 points, but in the end, probably deserved for both sides.
And last up, the champions in waiting, Livingston 0, Rangers 1, Morelos goal, and the usual clean sheet for Rangers, Gunnar.
Yeah, Morelos, he was my transfer in this week, so good one. He got the yellow card there for diving, apparently. My opinion, should have probably been a penalty and not a yellow card. Even if it is a penalty, probably a soft one, but definitely no yellow card for simulation in my opinion. And then he scores the easiest chance of the game, just to tap in. And just watching him play in this game, like, if you just based on this game, it's just a matter of time until he hauls. It depends, of course, who they play against after the split. They got St. Mirren and then Celtic before the split, so they play against all these top six teams then in the league. But just like I say, based on this game alone, he looks in great form. And honestly, being booked from the first half onwards and then scoring a goal in the 87th minute, so not bad from him. I would have expected him to be taken off, substituted by then, but he hung in there. Instead, it was Gerrard who got sent to the stands. But yeah, good for Rangers. Another win in the bag, and another win closer to the league title.
Two games to go. Don't see that with a smile on your face, Gunnar. Right, tell me thoughts on the game. And thoughts on the penalty, to see what your opinion is.
Yeah, I thought it was a penalty as well. There was clear contact.
Do you think it was a yellow card, but was he just simulated the extent of it, or...?
Well, I think the reason for the yellow card was, when I was watching the replay, it looked like before the contact was made, he'd already started to jump in the air.
He had already made up his mind he was going to go down. Yeah. It's right, yeah.
So I think that's what the referee had seen. He'd left the ground and then contact was made, but even if he didn't leap off the ground, Sigrist wasn't going to win that ball.
No.
Strijic wasn't going to win that ball and going to bring him down anyway. So I think he should have got the penalty, which would have led to a penalty one and a Barisic goal if Barisic was taking the penalty. So I was a bit gutted. Goldson also had a goal offside as well, so that could have been more points for my team. But even regardless of the Morelos penalty incident, he looked the most likely to score. He had 6 shots, 3 on target, and he missed another big chance as well. There was a corner where Goldson headed it onto him. He tried to head it into the goal, but missed. He's averaging one attack and return per game over his last 8 games. So for those that have a Barisic and Goldson, he would make a good third Rangers option. And it was obviously another clean sheet. Livingston failed to register a single shot on target, so McGregor wasn't really challenged in the game. So, all well, good.
I agree with both. I thought it was a penalty, and I think he just gave the referee the opportunity to book him by jumping before he was contacted. So I think that's a case his reputation went before him there for previous, and the referee took a chance rather than, as you said, the goalkeeper wasn't getting to that. He'd really take him out anyway. And all the permutations of the points like that, Tom, that's a fantasy player thing rather than the rights and wrongs. It. Right, so predictions for the week then. So as it stood, 36 points, Peter, Tom 25, Gunnar 42, and the scores were as Celtic won 2-0, so me and Gunnar got a point each. I said 2-0, Gunnar said 3, Tom said a draw. Next up says Motherwell, we all got that wrong, we all had to have the win. And the last game was Kilmarnock and United. I said 1 each, I got 3 points, and yous went for London United to win, so that's no points for yous each. So as it stands now, it is Peter on 40, Tom on 25, but Gunnar still leading on 33. So fixtures coming up this week then are Aberdeen, Hamilton, Motherwell, Livingston, Rangers, St Mirren, Ross County, Kilmarnock, St Johnstone, Hibs, Dundee United, Celtic, and then double game week for Livingston, Hamilton, and Ross County, Hibs. So I ask you to predict these next 3 games, Aberdeen, Hamilton, and I've went 1 each, Tom.
0-0.
Get up.
2-1 Hamilton.
Motherwell Livingston, and I went 2-1 Motherwell. Tom.
Two nil Motherwell.
Get up.
Oh, that's a tough one. 1-1 draw.
And Ross County versus Kilmarnock, and I've went 1-1 Tom.
2-2
Desmond, get up.
2-1 to Ross County.
Okay, that brings us to transfers, captains, vice captain section of the podcast for the Scottish game. So I'll go first. My transfer thoughts are I will look to bring in Ross County striker for a double game week. If White's still starting, he has been, I think it'll be him. Easy move to make. They've got two home games. And just for obviously this game, I can also transfer him back out, I think, for Morelos or Edouard post split. But just for this double game week, two home games, I think, if he's going to be a start striker, I'll go for it. And captain, vice captain. I've looked at doubles, blah, 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 but I still think maybe just stick with Barisic and Golson. So what's your thoughts on your transfer, captain, vice captain? I'll start with you, Tom.
Okay, well, I'm actually thinking about getting rid of Edouard and bringing in Morelos, just because I don't really know what it is about Edouard, but he's blanked before, obviously, scoring against Aberdeen. They've got a couple of trickier fixtures. They've got Dundee United, and obviously just before the split they play Rangers, and then they're going to be playing the top six after that. He's angling for his move in the summer. I don't know if he wants to risk that by getting involved in getting tangled up with many defenders. So I think maybe I'll get rid of Edouard and go Morelos.
Your jinx that by every time you score at Parkhead, just you're knowing your jinx now.
Captain wise, I'm not too sure. It's currently on Barisic just now, and I'm probably going to stick with my vice captaincy on Boyle. But
yep, double game week, Boyle, I suppose. Yep,
that may change.
Okay, Gunnar, your thoughts, transfers, captains, vice captains. Bear in mind, this is the last transfer for the cup starts.
Yep, so I've got my captain still on Barisic. And I'm surprised to hear Tom saying he wants rid of Edouard. He's my vice captain at the minute on my bus team. I've got Morelos and Edouard just to cover the two bases there. Because like I would want three Celtic, but if I take Edouard out, I've got already Turnbull and Ayer, who will be my third. So I think I'm keeping Edouard now the week against Dundee United anyway. You can see him scoring there. Morelos, he's on form. I've got more of the problem. I've got about 14 players that I would like to start, like Marciano and Strijek. They both have a double game week. Got Doig, he's flagged as injured. He would have potentially have a double game week. Ferguson, he's playing Hamilton, so that's decent. Like, but like if I could, I would bank my transfer, I suppose, and then play two frees in the first week of the cup. But we can't. But just looking at my team, I'm pretty happy with it. I'll probably do something about Doig if I find out that he's out injured for longer. I'm also missing having a non-playing player to get someone off the bench. So I might do something like that just to like make sure I can maximize my points during the cup weeks. But that all depends on the news for Doig, because if he's fit, I'll just keep him. And because he's got a double as well. If not, I'll probably just bring in a non-playing player for him.
Find out Doig pretty soon this week. When they're starting the presses, I think we'll find out with Doig whether or not. Right, well, we'll go to questions then. So Twitter for questions. First up is from Sutty Show, Sutty Football. First question is, Gunnar knows what's coming here.
I know what's coming.
Will Gunnar be sad when he gets knocked out of the first round of the Half Hour Fantasy Podcast Cup? So Gunnar, this is a question straight for you.
Of course I'm going to be sad. It's our cup, no? I'm in it to win it. But I suppose Sotty is in it to win it as well. And I'm looking at his fixture ticker for my planning for the cup. So I'm using his resources trying to beat him.
I think he'll be quiet with his transfer thoughts in the Titan chat this week, because he likes to let you know what he's doing. But I think this week he'll be keeping it close to his chest.
Yeah, we need to hold back this podcast then as well.
Just bleep all your talk out, bleep, bleep, bleep. What's your thoughts, Tom, on this first round matchup? Probably, if you could do seeds and beseeded teams.
I'm quietly confident. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 double game week players as it stands just now. So you get two bites of the cherry with that one. So I'm quite happy with that. God knows, actually inspired me there. I might not even do that Morelos move. I might just get a non-playing player just to maximise my bench options, because I was caught out during last game week because I had McGinn, who got 0 points, and Cole obviously scored against Hibs. And I had 6 points sitting on my bench, so I might actually try and get a non-playing player in just to try and maximise my points.
Right. I'm trying to think here. No, I'll wait and see. No, I'll bring up next time. Next question up is from FPL Warbag Andy. Who are you guys hoping don't make the top six? For me, it would be good if St. Johnstone don't finish seventh so we can triple up. So, thoughts on the league's up here? St. Johnstone players, obviously. You want to finish your bottom seven? Is that with you, Tom?
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that St. Johnstone shout, just purely for Guy Melamed. And also, Sean Rooney's been posting some recent decent hauls as well, particularly because he's playing that wing back position as well. He's getting further forward up the pitch. So probably Guy Mohamed, Sean Rooney, Callahan. Quite like a Lafferty, but it's obviously only one game to go on. So those would be my picks for the bottom half of the table.
Just to add for Gunnarin, Mirner 5, 4 points clear, sorry, with 2 games to go. So I think it's pretty much all but sealed. That'll be the top six and bottom six. So what's your thoughts, Gunnar? Are you happy St. Johnstone in the bottom seven for after split?
Yeah, but I've actually had a quick look. So Rooney, like Tom said, and Melamed from St. Johnstone, that would be my two picks there. Motherwell, probably between Watt and Cole, because I don't think you would want the two strikers as the double up. Then Dundee United, you could get Sigrist or Shankland. Mm-hmm. Sigrist probably a bit more. Would be better if there were bonus points. I had a quick look there. If Livy could drop down still, but they can't, because that would be my favorite team to be in the bottom half, because I would definitely pick three of their players. But as it stands, yes, St. Johnstone probably gives you the best options just based on form as well. And I would like Rooney in my team. Just I think he just doesn't look like a player who would play right wing back. Just, you know, his build and everything. He's an interesting player, I think.
Good comments. Next up is from Blair McLaughlin, Mr. Omnibus. Is everyone going to back-to-back wildcarding in the next 2 game weeks? So first thing I answer to you is we won't be, because we've not got a first wildcard. But if you had a wildcard still, do you think that's a viable strategy going forward? Is that where you're going?
See, I've looked at the question. I've only gone so far that I thought, well, that would imply I still had my first wildcard. But I played that in game week 3, I think. So fair play to Blair still having it. But I suppose, yeah, I mean, back-to-back wild cards, I'll probably use your wild card now to maximize on a double game week, and then, play it again once, play the second wild card to get your team ready for after the split, yeah.
Tom?
Back-to-back would imply that.
I think he means the last week of the split, before the split. I think that's what he actually meant.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, you have to have your first wild card played before the deadline of game week 33. So if it was me, I'd play the wild card with a view to maximising your players post-split. And then it gives you a second wild card to play about with. You could maybe use it on the last day of the season, because you can then sort out who's going to be rotated, what teams have still got something to play for. I mean, in the Scottish Premier League, every team's still got something to play for, because
money per position,
the money, even the difference between sort of 8th and 9th, the money that they're going to get goes a long way in terms of day-to-day running of the clubs and things like that. So but you can sort of maximise your team for the last day of the season. You can sort out maybe who's going to be rested, who needs to get some game time, things like that.
So just before we move on, is that going to be your tactic with your wild card? Are you waiting to?
No, I'll probably, because I don't have a first wild card. I'll just be, as soon as I get the second wild card, I'm just going to wild card.
Get as strong as you mean the possible builds for this.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go crazy on the bottom half. Just get all the bottom half players that I want, and maybe the odd, maybe Aberdeen defence. Celtic, I'll probably stick with Turnbull and possibly a defender. Need to see how Kennedy, things go with Kennedy. But I think I'll probably be looking more at the bottom half of the table to get my points.
Gunnar, your thoughts? You want to come in there? You are looking like you were wanting to say something.
I mean, it's all based on what way your team looks like now. I like Tom's way to go about it, but if your team now has like 3 Rangers, 3 Celtic, 3 Aberdeen, so that's 9 players with a single game week, and you've got a couple of teams this week now with double game weeks. So if you played your first wild card now, just to maximize on this double and then play it again in the split. But Tom's way of going about it, it's almost like playing a free hit there at the end of the season. I like that as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I suppose that's good if you're near the top here in your mini leagues or something like that, or you have something to play for, try to catch somebody, then it's a viable option. Right, we finished with the Scottish game. We've won a bit of FPL chat.
Yep.
Okie dokie. So, obviously, the game is still ongoing, so there is no point. When I go through teams, what this does, what we've got so far. So, Gunnar, you've been 87 points for the week. I'm on 72 points a week, and Tom is at 88 points a week. So, as it leads, you know, Tom's winning, but obviously, there's still a lot of games to play. So, who you still left to play? Who you looking? Obviously, me and Gunnar. Well, obviously, nobody knows this. Mm-hmm. Who have you got playing ahead? You want to the haul from or get points back? We'll start with you, Tom. Who have you left?
So this evening, I've got Captain Kane to play against Fulham and Son. I've got Calvert-Lewin away at West Brom. I have Harrison Reed. He's got Spurs. I've got Rudiger against Liverpool, and I have Salah as well.
Yourself, Gunnar, who have you got left to play in this game week?
Just one last thing I want to go back to the FFS, because I forgot. We have one more question from Blades Attack Brian. He's asking who the best Rangers attacker is. We kind of indirectly answered that already, probably. But Tom going for Morelos. I brought Morelos in. So I just wanted to get that out the way. For me, it's Morelos. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I agree. And sorry, that's because he's tweeted reply to your tweet rather than the original tweet. So I missed that going forward.
Yeah. So the FPL then, I still have to go. I've got Trent. He's playing Chelsea tonight. I've got Salah also playing Chelsea, obviously. And then Calvert-Lewin and the big one, Kane, triple captain. I'm waiting to see what he can do against Fulham.
Right, I've got James at the back for Chelsea. I've got Son and Salah in midfield. So ideally, I'd like a blank from Salah. James clean sheet there for me. And Kane up front, triple captain as well, same yourself, Gunnar, and Maja for Fulham. So he's 5 each, Fulham and Spurs. Maja hat-trick, Kane hat-trick. Hunters are some assists. Right, so predictions then. As it stood, it was 34, 28 and 23. That's 34, Peter, 20, Tom, 23, Gunnar. And the scores, I think, were pretty poor this week. Leeds, Villa, none has got it right. Leicester, Arsenal, none has got it right. And Chelsea, Man United, me and Tom both got 0-0. Going to go none. So, going to be blank this week. So, that was it. So as it stands, it's 37-23-23. So, the topic, we'll do something different this week. Talk about my idea for the FPL rather, and kind of do a rundown. We're going to have like some pressing questions, topics for the actual week, and then we're going to discuss it. So, Tom, over to you.
Okay. Did Gunnar, did you see what players you've still got to play?
Yes. Yeah, I said it.
Or did you? I drifted away there. So. Yeah. So the first point of talking about is City double game week coming up. First of all, your assets, are you going to stick or twist? And is it time to come away from the City triple up? Your rotation's becoming a lot more of a risk just now. Should we move the triple to a double? What do you guys think?
Who's first, Tom? You're a hosting seat.
Go you, Peter.
Right, City triple up, I'm sticking with right now. I'm going to stick with Cancelo, Stones and Gundogan. I'm going to stay with it now. I listen to a lot of podcasts about it, and I feel everybody seems to be doing the whole let's jump off them, let's do this, and I can like the idea that they'll do it and I'll just stand still. Stones has got me so far, done well so far. Cancelo, I'm actually considering captaining next week because I looked at the fixtures, so it's 2 before the European game. I think he's doing another haul. I really like Cancelo. I think the secret way, I think when they go to the 3-to-back, I just love seeing him play. Gundogan, potentially, I think, might have now peaked with his points, return, and goal scores and that. But for the price he's at, I'm not moving yet. I'll wait to, I mean, it's where we do game 26, 27, what are we on next?
27 is coming up.
27, right. So my wildcard plan is 31. I think I'll be holding to 31. No issue with that. He's maybe not to, maybe not going to get the attacking turns, but he will be playing majority of games, and I'll just make sure I've got a strong first off the bench.
Gunnar?
Yeah, well, I have the triple up as well. I've got Stones and Diaz instead of Cancelo. I've considered like moving sideways. Every week I've been thinking of swapping one of them to Cancelo, but they both scored this week, and I think it's just a waste of a transfer. I've got the two now, so I'll stick with them. Basically, I'm hoping every week that Cancelo blanks and the two centre halves can get something. Same with Gundogan. I'm with Peter there. For the price he's at, I've looked around a little bit. I know we've got another question on the Barnes and like Grealish replacements and that's kind of the price bracket we're talking. And for me, there's no one better than Gundogan. He's probably peaked, but I just don't see a better option in that price bracket. So for me, I'm going to stay on the triple up, definitely.
Yep, I probably agree with you on that. I definitely want to stick with the defenders. The last two games, City have conceded. In one of those games, Stones was rested. In another game, Cancelo was rested. So we need to see if Pep's ever going to have a settled defence and what it consists of. I had a wee look at the stats for City midfielders. So this is over the last four games. So this is total goal attempts. Mahrez is top with 10. Sterling and KDB both have 9. Bernardo Silva, 7. Gundogan, 7. Foden, 6. Rodri and Torres, 3 each. And then the big chances they've had in front of goal. Sterling's top with 3. Gundogan, 2. So good for those that want to stick. Bernardo Silva, Foden and Rodri all have 1. And it's nothing for the rest. And then I looked at shots on target as well. So it's actually Bernardo Silva and Foden up top with 5 each. Sterling and Gundogan have 4 each. Mahrez with 3 and KDB with 2. So it's a bit of a mixed bag. I also looked at the assist potential as well over the last 4. All midfielders have created 1 big chance except Rodri and Gundogan, who haven't created any. KDB, Foden, Sterling, Bernardo Silva, Rodri, Mahrez all created between sort of 5 and 7 chances, except Torres 3 and Gundogan 1. So Gundogan has been spared recently. He only had 68 minutes against Spurs. He was rested completely against Everton, 90 minutes against Arsenal, 88 versus West Ham, and only 8 minutes versus Wolves. And he's had 1 assist over the past 4 game weeks. So I quite like Gundogan because he's going to cost you quite a lot of money to upgrade. But I looked at the attack and returns from City midfielders, and Mahrez has actually had 2 goals and 3 assists in his last 4 games. So I kind of like him as an option, but it's a case of finding the funds for that.
Back to you, Tom, you're hosting.
Yep, I'm not used to being in the power seat here. So the next talking point was Harvey Barnes replacements. Obviously, a lot of people loaded up on Leicester assets, and Harvey Barnes was one of those for the obviously upcoming double game week. He is now out for 6 weeks, so we're left with a Harvey Barnes-shaped hole in our teams. And I was just wondering what you thought were the best options to replace him. Go to Gunnar this time.
Well, I think if you can stretch the budget, then I would suggest Son, like 2.5 million difference there. But like I can only go from my team. I've got 2 million in the bank. So if I can find another 500,000 somewhere, then I could do that if I had Barnes. Then I've looked a little more. Lucas Moura from Spurs. He could be a shout, but it's this front three of Kane, Son, now Bale, he's emerged, and Lucas. So he could be an option. The one player that I like the most actually is Lingard. He's cheap. He's got good returns in the past few weeks. The only thing is he can't play against United in game week 28. So that, like, if I had Barnes, I probably would go for Lingard. But him not playing in game week 28 against United, that would probably save me the headache. You know what I mean? So I don't really have an option per se that I 100% like. So I would suggest maybe saving the money, going to a cheap midfielder and trying maybe putting the funds into the strikers if you can.
Yeah. Peter, what about you?
Right. The two options I've contemplated would be Rafinha for Leeds and Saka for Arsenal, both cheaper and both playing a blank week. Personally, I've been wanting to get Rafinha in for a while. I couldn't really think who was going to get out. Grealish got injured, so bringing Barnes. Barnes injured again, so it's made my option easy. I think I'll be bringing Rafinha in. That's what I'm going to go for. Saka, I think, get rested. I think Saka, when he plays, is pretty much going to be playing most games. He's so cheap. I think he'll have a massive price rise next year in the game, actually, if he's getting more nailed on. But right now, he's a good option. But for me, personally, I was going to Rafinha. For other options, just maybe just out there. I like Neto for Wolves, but I think he's pretty inconsistent, even though he's actually a decent haul. Going to mention Lingard, that's what I was going to say as well. Apart from that, I don't really think anybody stands out that to me would be worth coming into the team. They're going to be sitting probably on the bench if I bring him in. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, maybe this is Gunnar says, go down to maybe a Lookman or something like that, and then you can upgrade your defence or strike force.
Yeah. So I had a look, and first of all, I considered the same sort of price range, and I like both your answers because I've suggested Rafinha, Lingard and Saka purely for the fact that they also play in blank game week 29. I had a look at the fixtures sort of surrounding game week 29. Lingard can't play in 28 against parent club Man United, but most will probably have a strong enough team that they're able to bench him for 28 if they felt strongly enough that they wanted to get him in, especially for those that are coming off maybe a game week 25 wildcard and then obviously bench boost in 26 because they're going to have 15 starters in their team. The fixtures for West Ham, if you exclude the Man United fixture, Lingard would face Leeds at home, Arsenal at home, Wolves away, Leicester at home, which given their injury news might not be such a daunting prospect, and then Newcastle away. So that's quite a nice run of fixtures. Saka, he was rested against Leicester along with Aubameyang on the weekend, so rotation might not be a worry for him in the upcoming fixtures. He faces Burnley away, Tottenham at home, West Ham United away, Liverpool at home, Sheffield United away, and Fulham at home. So again, another nice fixture run there as well. And then finally, Rafinha, he's got West Ham away, Chelsea at home. Chelsea have been pretty solid defensively. Then Fulham away, Sheffield United at home, City away, and Liverpool at home. My only reservation about Rafinha is Leeds haven't been playing as well without Calvin Phillips, but his own stats are pretty good. If we do look at the stats of the three players over the last four games, goal attempts, Lingard and Rafinha have 10 each, and Saka has 8. If we look at options, the goal attempts on target, it's 6 for Lingard, 3 for Rafinha, and just 1 for Saka. And then if we're looking at their assist potential, chances created, Rafinha's way up top with 17. Lingard and Saka both have 3. And then big chances created, Lingard's actually on top with 4, Rafinha 2, and Saka with none. So for me, I quite like the look of Lingard. Given my own circumstances, I obviously did the wild card and bench boost, so I could afford to bench him in 28. If you are considering a free hit in game week 29, then you're not really going to care what player plays in 29 or not, and you can focus on the surrounding fixtures. And I agree with Peter, I do like the look of Neto. He has had 13 goal attempts over the last 4 of which are on target, 9 chances created and 1 big chance. And Wolves do go on this fantastic fixture run from game week 31 onwards as well. So that's something to consider too. Jota's coming back from injury at Liverpool, and he's in that sort of price range as well. He was doing really well before he became injured. And if you kind of want a sort of out there pick, Trossard at Brighton, he has really been underperforming when you look at his stats. He's the most underperforming mid in that sort of price bracket. So I quite like the look of him, and obviously Brighton do play Newcastle in blank game week 29. If we move on to then blank game week 29, a nice little segue there. We now have 3 free transfers between now and the blank. So how are you going to build towards the blank game week? Are you going to be, what players are you looking to bring in? And are you, if you do have the free hit, are you considering using it in 29? I'll go you, Peter, this time.
Right, I have no free hits to start off with, so that's been done. So I'm thinking Rafinha this week, probably a bright defender the next week, and then I'd wait to see how Leroy lands for third week. But like team-wise, I've already got players in that fixture. Got Martinez, Son and Kane, Rafinha, Banthard and Maja. So I'm not even that far away from having maybe 9 starting players. 9-10 hopefully, maybe to get out. But I'm happy with that. I'm not going nuts, not going to break the team. Just to get the players playing, I've worked towards it, and then that's happy to roll out after that.
Yep, good enough.
Yeah, for me, it's kind of similar. I've got like 6-7 players already. Maybe more like 5 or 6. But I think the one player I'm working towards would be Son, to have the Son and Kane double up. And Brighton defender is an option because I've still got Trent, who's taken up a lot of funds and not really returning too many points. I looked on, like, you know, on the live FPL, when you can see your live game week score, they show you if someone is a differential in the team or if someone, it could hurt your rank, for example. And this weekend when Trent got his clean sheet there, he was definitely a differential there. He helped me in my rank. So again, it's a lot of funds for him, and getting another defender who's having a game in that blank could be an option. I think, is it Maitland-Niles from Arsenal? He's a defender in the game. I think he could be an option. But yeah, I'm kind of working towards this blank game week, and if I get 9-10 players playing, then I'll be happy with that. I'm not going to break up my whole team just because of those 4 games.
Excellent. Yeah. With myself, I do have the free hit. Where was I again? Yep. So obviously I'm trying not to free hit. I was intending to free hit in 29, but I tried to look ahead at the fixtures and try and plan ahead. And I noticed that if we cast our eyes even further into game week 33, City and Spurs both have a blank. And not just that, they both blank in the middle of a really nice fixture run, because City have Leeds, Aston Villa, then the blank, then they play Palace, a trickier fixture against Chelsea, and then Newcastle, and then Brighton. And then for Spurs, it's Newcastle, Man United, Everton, blank, then Sheffield United, Leeds, Wolves, and Aston Villa. So if we go on the presumption that we're still going to own treble City, and given, I suppose it kind of falls on how Spurs perform tonight, because they look great last fixture, they're really attacking, and they got a few goals, so if Spurs are still on form, then Kane and Son, I'm presuming we're both in a double up. How are we going to manage past this with having 5 players? If you had a strong bench, I suppose you could bench your 3 City players and then perhaps sell Son and Kane and then bring them back again. But then you're burning a lot of transfers and potentially taking hits to do that as well. I know owning Kane and Son depends on their form and also the injury status as well, but if Spurs come out tonight with another convincing win and maintain that form, then it's going to present a bit of a headache. So I might hold on to the free hit until 33, and that'll allow me to remove the City and Spurs assets for just 1 week, and then they'll return back for game week 34 to continue the good run. If you do look back at game week 29, then I think there's a core group of players that if you've got those, then you should manage to navigate the game week unscathed, really. Kane and Son are obviously two options. Talked about Lingard. I think Rafinha's an option as well, and Bamford and Dallas at Leeds. St. Maxim's out for Newcastle, and I think he's a key factor in the Newcastle attack. So without him, Brighton defenders look good. And obviously on the build-up to this, Brighton's defensive stats have been really good. So looking at maybe Dunk or a Brighton defender. And then in goals, you're going to have maybe Martinez at Aston Villa or Sanchez for Brighton. I'm not as fussed about Leeds as what I thought they were going to be. Their fixtures are kind of difficult on the run-up to 29. They've got West Ham and then they've got Chelsea. They obviously play Fulham in blank 29 and then play Sheffield United, then have a really tricky run of City, Liverpool and Man United afterwards. Obviously with Leeds, we know they can score against anyone. but looking at their form, they lost 1-0 to Villa. They got the 3-0 win against Southampton, but if you look at Southampton's defensive stats, then it didn't really come as a surprise. They also lost 1-0 to Wolves and lost 4-2 to Arsenal. So if I had to go without the three leads in it, I don't know if I'd be as first. And I may even consider going Antonio over Bamford if Antonio can stay fit as well. The last talking point we had was, is Bale now an FPL option? I'll go to you, Peter, first.
For me personally, no, because I've got Kane and Son, and I'm not going to three. Again, we're watching and seeing, I suppose, next couple of weeks. But Kane doesn't finish games. Not sorry, Bale doesn't finish games. I know he was great in the last game. I still think I prefer Son unless I see a shift in formation. And you said that difficult fixture against Man City. If you're assuming three Man City, three Spurs, there's six players are going to try to do something with. But I think I'm happy with midfield. If I'm sticking with two Spurs, I'll stick with Kane, Son. But again, that's down to it could be form, injury could come into play here, but as it stands, I'm sure if you haven't got him on your team, it could be a great differential. I wouldn't look me wrong. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say anybody who's maybe in the chasing pack trying up the table could jump on if they do something different. But for me personally, in the position I'm in, I'll not be touching him. No.
Good.
Yeah, for me, it's similar. I've only got Kane at the minute. The Spurs player I would want to bring in would be Son. But if I didn't have the funds, or like Peter said, if you're chasing, then Bale is definitely an option. I would probably wait till tonight, see if he gets another game. And the last game was like 4 days ago. So we can maybe gauge a bit of what Mourinho thinks about his fitness if he gets another game tonight on a Thursday, and take it from there. But my two main Spurs assets still are Kane and Son. And then what you said, Tom, Spurs and City blanking in game week 33. So if you got the three City, you put them on the bench. And then if you've got Son and Kane, that's over 20, 21 million, I think. Even if you take a hit for 4 points, but you can basically go anywhere for that 1 week or even for the run-in, depending on how the fixtures fall. So I don't think it's that big of a problem as we might potentially think it could be.
Mm-hmm. Well, at the time of recording, it's 10 past six. So we're only 10 minutes into the Spurs Fulham game just now. And I think it all kind of hinges on the game tonight and see how Spurs perform. I think we've set up to attack. Kane, Son, Bale and Dele Alli's all started this evening. So we'll be interested to see how they progress tonight. Spurs do have a really nice run towards the end of the season. I think there's a number of factors involved when it comes to Bale. If Salah continues to underperform, then people are going to start to get fed up and offload, and that will free up quite a lot of funds to spread amongst the midfield. So if Spurs continue the form and Salah dips, then I could see him being a decent FPL option going ahead.
Okay.
Peter, back to you.
I was going to see you handing it back over to me. This virtual handing it back to me. Right, that was good, Thomas. Son, we'll look to do going forward. Maybe do something similar maybe next season for the Scottish game. Don't know how we'll work on it. Son, just more punchy questions. Yes, people keep me more interested in that. Right, so just quickly, who's the captains for the next week going ahead? Gunnar.
So I've got my captaincy for game 27. I've got that on Salah, the vice captain on Kane so far. Salah's playing Fulham. But when I did that, I didn't see that City had the double. So I'm tempted to captain a City defender. It's just, you don't know if they're going to play the both games, you know. And same, we said Gundogan, he's gone off the boil a little bit. So, might take my chances. I know it's just a one game in the game week, but it's Fulham. So, Captain Salah.
I feel a bit punty near the time. As I say, they might go Cancelo because it's like two games before Europe.
Yep.
Gundogan's option. My other option would be maybe Kane at home at Crystal Palace. I believe that's the fixture.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Again, it's just have to wait to see how the fitness looks. These guys come in and see what happens. Maybe yourself, Tom, captain options.
It's currently sitting on Kane just now. Obviously, we have to see how tonight goes. I do feel like I'm maybe overlooking the City fixtures. So it's probably between one of my City assets, either Cancelo, Stones, probably not Stones, Cancelo or Gundogan or Kane. I'm dithering between the It'll probably change a number of times before we come to the deadline.
Okay, right, that's us finished weekend, guys. So do you want to get your plugs in? Start with you, Tom, before we head off into the sunset.
Yep, so I am FFS_Scout. I'll try and put out the article for tomorrow. You can hit me up on Twitter.
Sean Simple Gunner.
Yeah, I'm at Fitball Weekly Pod on Twitter. That might change going forward. But yeah, you can get in touch. We're doing a captain, vice captain poll, doing the podcast here, and all the questions you got fantasy related. Yeah, get them to me. Second in Germany at the minute.
You'll get to see, you've got a top dog here who can give you input. Again, it won't tell you who's buying, but he'll help you who you're buying. I suppose that's why he's sitting second in Germany. You can follow me at Fantasy Half. Also follow these guys as well. If you like this podcast, again, thanks for listening. Give us a review on iTunes, wherever you get your podcast, and we'll come back. It'll be quite a lengthy delay next time because the game week falls late between fixtures, I think, because it's over two weekends. If we come back before then, we'll let you know. If not, it'll be 2 weeks before we come back. So again, thanks for listening. So say goodbye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.